Welcome to another informative sales productivity program from John Boyens of the Boyens Group. The focus of today's program is selling over the phone. John Boyens has dedicated his business life to maximizing the productivity of sales processes for more than 30 years. During his career in corporate America, John was successful in leading national sales, service, and marketing organizations to consistently increase sales productivity, improve market share, accelerate revenue performance, and deliver bottom-line profit results. John will be sharing some of his expertise with you today as he offers tips and strategies for generating positive results when selling over the phone. Now, here's John Boyens.
Most people don't like to sell over the telephone. The number one reason? Rejection. Research shows that you have 15 to 18 seconds to get someone's attention on a teleprospecting call. That doesn't mean you talk faster or louder. Remember, buyers are thinking, what's in it for me? Why should I care? Whatever you say needs to be quick, targeted, and engaging.
Three basic telephone skills.
The first is rate of speech. If you speak too rapidly, you will tend to lose the customer and you will lose the call objective. The converse is also true. If you speak too slowly, you will have a tendency to bore the person on the other end. Remember, their time is valuable, and you will again jeopardize your call objective. The ideal rate of speech is between 180 and 190 words per minute. This rate will allow the prospect to understand what you are saying and maintain interest. This is the same rate of speech taught to and used by most radio and television announcers. In the United States, there are different patterns and rates of speech and regional accents that are the product of geographic areas. In the northeastern part of the country, people tend to speak faster, while people from the southern states tend to speak slower than the 180-word rate. However, people in the midwestern states will tend to speak at the 180-word rate without accents. If you practice speaking at the 180-word-per-minute rate, you will significantly improve your communication, and in selling, that translates into more sales and commissions for you. Number two, be conscious of your volume. Just as rate of speech is important when speaking to your customer on the phone, so too is your volume. While this may sound like first-grade instruction, you would be surprised how often professional salespeople fail to adjust their volume during a telephone conversation. It is important to speak at a volume that will allow the other person to hear you with little or no difficulty. This will normally be the same volume that you would use to speak with someone who is seated across the table from you. Speaking too loud or too low will have serious and negative results on your ability to sell. If you speak too softly, the customer or prospect will not be able to hear you and will soon lose interest in what you have to say. On the other hand, if you speak too loudly, the customer will move the phone away from their ear because it bothers them. In either case, the next sound that you're likely to hear is a click as they hang up the phone. One guideline to follow before you make your call is to adjust the mouthpiece to be directly in front of your mouth and make sure that you vary the distance between the mouthpiece and your mouth based upon how loudly or softly you speak. Number three, voice inflection, voice technique, and control. This is the art and skill of creating the perception of confidence, knowledge, and experience through the use of voice inflection, both up and down, tonal quality, and emphasis on key words. Often salespeople can be identified when calling a prospect because they don't use proper voice inflection or, worse yet, speak in a monotone. Inflection and/or emphasis does work and can affect what the client hears. Use it to your benefit.
Pre-call planning.
Target your prospecting. Identify companies, industries, or geographic areas that you would like to penetrate to convert the prospect to a customer that will purchase your product or services. Remember, they may or may not buy right now, but they are eligible to do so based upon your pre-call research and the fact that the prospect meets your qualification criteria. Also, identify potential business problems that they can relate to based upon the prospect's job description, title, and/or industry. Research shows that most phone calls are made to people who can't buy. In other words, they are to end users or influencers, but not to decision makers. And yes, they may be able to influence the decision maker, but when push comes to shove, they can't make the decision to buy and rarely will push their boss for the decision that you want. They will usually be available to talk and talk and talk, but rarely does anything significant come out of these sessions other than consuming a lot of your time that could be better spent with another prospect. What you need to know is that selling to decision makers is easier because they are burdened or challenged with solving business problems day in and day out. Not only are they burdened and challenged, they are looking for solutions to these problems. It's imperative that you plan each call on a worksheet prior to dialing the telephone. In other words, think ahead and plan what you want to discuss. We have included a sample call objective worksheet in this packet. Please take it out and follow along with me as I highlight the key elements. First, you want to identify two or three reasons for the call. Second, highlight two or three product topics that you'd like to discuss with the prospect. Third, write out your lead-in statement. Let me give you an example.
John, I appreciate you taking my call as I know you're quite busy. You may remember we touched base last Thursday afternoon, and it's occurred to me that I should have determined if you were interested in what some of my other customers are doing to lower cost and improve operating efficiencies.
Next, write out your generating interest statement. Make sure that you highlight why it's in the best interest for the prospect to listen to what you have to say. Use the "what's in it for me" concept. Let me give you an example.
Mr. Hardtack, I need to talk to you about the high cost of turnover for entry-level sales positions. I have two new solutions that can save your company thousands of dollars a year by helping you hire and retain better candidates.
Next, identify the prospect's anticipated need or needs from your perspective. Then, identify the prospect's motivation to buy. It could be something like need, fear, or greed. Also, identify any anticipated stalls. They could be something like price, they don't need it now, or that they're happy with their current provider. Once you've completed the call, you'll be able to use the call objective worksheet to document the prospect's real needs, the results of the call, and the next steps and timelines for follow-up. The bottom line is that you may think that you're great off the cuff, but no matter how good you are at winging it, the most successful telephone salespeople plan their calls in advance. Using this worksheet will increase the probability of success.
Making the call.
When I say the word script to most salespeople, they cringe. The fact of the matter is that we all have a script when we make telephone sales calls. You may not refer to it as a script, but rather a series of words intending to introduce yourself, your company, or your products. The problem is that most salespeople don't write down what they're going to say, and they don't practice their scripts. But if I were to pretend to pick up the phone and say hello, you'd say something, wouldn't you? Otherwise, all I'd hear is heavy breathing, and that would be considered an obscene phone call versus a prospecting call. I'd like to share with you a template for a successful cold call script. This is John. I've been working with several owners of printing companies, and I've been hearing that they're having difficulty getting their new salespeople to produce within the first 90 days on the job. I'm curious if you're experiencing anything similar, and if you would like to know how others in your industry have overcome this challenge. Now let me dissect what I just said. Did you notice I said first name, not first name, last name, or not first name, last name, company name? Research shows if you say first name, last name, and company name, it automatically triggers in the minds of the person that you called salesperson. Research also shows if you say first name and last name and don't say company name, the prospect will spend 6 to 7 seconds trying to figure out if they know you. So first name is a good way to use the script. The second area I wanted to highlight is I said owners of printing companies. You're targeting a specific audience, so you want to understand the title and the industry. That's important to have in your script. The last point I want to highlight is when I said having difficulty getting their new salespeople to produce within the first 90 days on the job. It's important that you pick out a business challenge that you think might be affecting them to get them engaged in that prospecting call. If you use this cold call template, there are 4 possible responses that you will get from your prospect. They are anything positive. In other words, who was that? How did you do that? Or how could it help me? Either ask for an appointment or keep the conversation going and tell the rest of the customer success story. The second response would be, I don't have that problem. You could respond with, "Other challenges I often see are," and you'll use your pre-call planning from earlier to be able to understand what some of those business issues may be. The third possible response is the dreaded "send me something." Here's a good way to respond to that. "Sure, may I ask you a few questions to better understand exactly what it is that I need to send you?" And the fourth response is "not interested." If you get that response, ask this question: "Could you tell me who in your organization would be responsible for addressing this business challenge?" One of two things will happen. They will either say, "Well, that's Fred or Sally," in which case you can ask them to forward you to Fred or Sally. Or more than likely, they'll say, "Well, that's me." Exactly, and that's the reason that you engage them to begin with. It gives you a chance to re-engage. Make sure that you practice your script. Leaving yourself a voicemail is a good way to do that. Another way to practice is to call a coworker or a family member and let them critique your script.
The keys to good listening.
Limit your own talking. Remember, you can't talk and listen at the same time. Next, put yourself in the customer's shoes. Your client's problems and needs are important, and you'll understand and retain them better if you listen to their point of view and from their perspective, not your own. Next, ask questions. If you don't understand something or feel you may have missed the point they were trying to make, clear it up now before it embarrasses you later. Probe, probe, probe. Next, don't interrupt. A pause doesn't always mean that they're finished saying everything they wanted to say or explain. They may be just catching their breath. Wait 4 seconds. If they don't say something, it's now a good time for you to jump in. Next, concentrate. Remember, you called them, so focus on what they are saying. Practice shutting out distractions like other conversations or thinking about the next call or where you're going to go for lunch. Most of us are not mental multitaskers. Next, take good notes. This is critical and will help you remember key points that you can use in your presentation later or use to refute an objection to a benefit you're trying to define. It's also important to keep notes on what questions you asked because it's embarrassing to ask the same question twice. Next, interjections. An occasional "yes," "I see," or "uh-huh" shows the customer that you're still with them and haven't dozed off. But don't overdo it or use meaningless or thoughtless comments. Next, prepare in advance. Remarks and questions prepared in advance, when possible, free your mind for listening and assist you in keeping control of your call. Next, react to ideas, not the person. Don't be irritated at things customers may say or let their manner or attitude distract you from your plan. Oftentimes, what you are proposing may be overturning something they themselves decided to purchase some time ago, so it's natural they may feel and show some resistance to change. Plan for it. Next, don't jump to conclusions. Avoid making early or unwarranted assumptions about what you think the customer is going to say or mentally trying to complete their thoughts. And last, expect objections. You can learn a great deal about the prospect from what they say or the tone of their voice when responding. Trust your instincts and don't forget that it's natural to get objections or to hear doubts expressed or inferred. Think of yourself when going into a clothing store on Saturday morning with your checkbook sticking out of your pocket. The salesperson says, "May I help you?" Your answer is more than likely, "No, just looking." Keep in mind that most people want to buy. Don't we all want to be in charge of finding solutions to the issues or problems that distress us? But if we come across a pushy salesperson, don't we become defensive and on guard? The reason we react that way is that we don't want to be sold. The key to overcoming objections is to come across as a consultant versus a pushy salesperson, and that way you can enable the buyer to buy.
Buying signals.
When your prospect asks you questions about timing, price, output, quantity, and availability of products, those are buying signals. If the prospect makes any comment that indicates some degree of interest in what you're talking about, explore that interest level by asking, "Is that something that might be of interest to you?" Wait for an answer and then continue to probe. Don't go on to another product or service unless you have fully explored the customer's comment.
Phrases to avoid.
Phrases such as, "How are you doing? Is this a good time? How's business? Do you have the budget to purchase this year? How do you stack up against the competition?" Also, avoid the use of the word contract. Agreement is less intimidating.
Wrapping it all up.
I am hopeful that you will try some of the tips and techniques that I've shared with you right away. Let me recap some of the major points. Under basic telephone skills, we talked about rate of speech, volume, and voice inflection. In pre-call planning, we talked about targeting your prospects, selling to the decision maker, and using the call objective worksheet. In making the call, we talked about scripting, practice, and tracking your results. We also discussed the 11 keys to good listening, buying signals, and phrases to avoid. Now it's up to you. The next 7 days are critical if you want to get a return on your investment. Begin to use these tips and techniques, especially the call objective worksheet, and watch your sales skyrocket.
This concludes Selling Over the Phone with John Boyens. We hope you've enjoyed our program and will put these tips to immediate use in your phone sales activity. John's expertise in sales, sales management, and strategic marketing keeps him in demand as a guest speaker, facilitator, workshop leader, and business consultant. John is the co-author of the book, Real World Sales Strategies That Work, and several audio CD series, including Techniques of World-Class Sellers and The Productive Selling Zone. For more information on all products and services available through the Boyens Group, or how the Boyens Group can custom design a program to meet your unique needs, please visit us on the web at boyens.com.